Podlita.
Working models who are working.
Captions crunch.
Podlita.
Conspiracy theory.
Top model Matt.
Podlita.
That's not very elderly. So nice to wear.
Hey, and welcome to Podlita. That's Top Model Podcast spelled backwards. What? I'm Alexander Price. And, well, at this point, I've given the baby away.
I'm Hannah Jane Ginsburg, and lose that prompter, baby.
And I'm J.W. Crump, and grab every centimeter you can, baby. Thanks, Lara.
We're, of course, talking about Cycle 13, Episode 8, Interview 101, or, as I like to think of it, The Girl Who Corrects Top Model Math.
Ooh.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I love that. And we also love our anchor.fm/podlitem sponsors. Again, that's anchor.fm/podlitem. Y'all have been coming in. I don't know if it's because I explained that that was a website recently or what, but y'all have been coming hot and heavy with new sponsors. We got to do two an episode again. And these are two names that are very special to me. We have a Xena and a Mary. Now, let me tell you this. Growing up, my father's favorite show was Xena Warrior Princess. And I know that Xena spells it differently.
Yeah.
Our sponsor does, but
I was rooting for the Mary Tyler Moore show.
Well, get ready. And but I didn't realize, y'all, like why my dad was watching that show. Until I was a little older and I was like, look how horny Xena War. Oh.
It's like why my dad liked the Gilmore Girls so much.
And then I cannot hear the name Mary without going, Mary,
Mary,
Mary from Jack A. Harris's Sandra. Oh, man. So thank you, Xena and Mary. And anyone can go to anchor.fm/podlitem to sponsor us. Something else you can do is send us an email to podlitem@gmail.com. And I have two quick ones. We've been getting a lot of great emails recently, but this one's from Dawn. Dawn? Am I pronouncing that too hard with my accent?
W-N or O-N?
Like dusk and.
Dawn.
Dawn. Subject, where to watch. Love the podcast. It's such a smart take on such a silly show. Thank you so much, Dawn. I love it. Quick question. Where are you streaming Cycle 13? I can't find it anywhere. Also, can we talk about how Aaron looks like pouty, bratty, American Beauty era Mina Suvari? Dawn, I replied already, but just for everyone, right now, at least as recently as yesterday for me when I'm recording this, it's all on Hulu, like at least the first like 22 cycles or something. And I think, Hannah, correct me if I'm wrong, but you're still watching it on Amazon.
I'm still watching on Amazon Prime, which I believe has through cycle 14.
Okay.
So you're going to have to switch.
I am. Yeah.
I don't know where Dawn lives. This might be a question of region.
Oh, sure. Gotcha.
So you might
need always use one of those VPN things. Yeah.
They don't acknowledge petite people in Germany.
Oh my God. Could you imagine it's just not this cycle?
And here's another fun email we got again, podlitem@gmail.com from William. This is about China Chow. So I know we all were a fan. So I wanted to share this. Ooh. I'm especially a horror movie fan. Hey, y'all, really enjoyed the most recent episode. I forgot China Chow was on this season. Otherwise, I would have sent this earlier. The thing I know about China is that she's one of the stars of the creature feature Frankenfish. I have watched this movie before this email. It's a giant killer fish let loose in the bayou. Spoiler alert, but her death is one of the most ridiculous things I've seen in a horror movie. And y'all, I watched this clip and I watched a lot of ridiculous horror. This is crazy because she gets shot in the face by the houseboat because the gun.
That was not how I imagined that sentence.
I was expecting
fish.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the gun, because everyone else gets killed by that frankenfish and she's just wandering around trying to save everybody and the gun's just on the houseboat and a piece of like debris or fire or something lands on the gun and it just shoots her in the face.
Gorgeous. Work of art.
So if you want to ask any questions like that or send us fun things about the B horror movies that our guest petite models have been in, go to Podlead. You can send us an email, podleadem@gmail.com. Now, y'all, let's get ready. It's the Cover Girl commercial.
Before we get there, previously on, now they were samurai. When were they samurai? A single katana was used in that photo shoot.
There are two sound cue choices in this previously on. One is, I'm pretty sure they edited this in, the horn honking at Rey when she's going too slow. I don't think that was there originally.
No.
And secondly, of course, they made time for an offensive music cue.
And what was funny is they avoided it for the most part, in that episode. So I was like, why layer? Well, they didn't have this cue. So why layer on more? Cue.
Phil, there's your answer. They're like, oh, we're just sitting on this one. Gotta get it in somewhere.
Guys, we bought the entire 80 sound offensive track. We have to use all 80.
That's how they decide where they go next and what the shoots are. Talking about music cues, the sermon music that accompanies...
just a little church chord.
Why?
Get you ready.
The opening, I don't know why this is so funny to me. I guess it's because I've never seen it in another cycle or noticed it. But the opening shot with the limo parked outside their house is so funny to me. Because I guess I just never considered that the limo might stay parked there.
Yeah, that's true.
Because it's not like they drive it. Lot. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is the driver just sitting out there all day?
Oh my God. Yeah, where's, is it a self-driving Tesla limo?
So apparently Nicole and Jen are hair braiding level friends. When did this happen?
I don't know.
Well, Kara's gone and Jen's like, let's do the opposite of Kara now as a friend. Let's just try the spectrum of friends I can make in the house.
And something that has never happened before, Rey gets real mail. Where did this real mail come from? Because it couldn't have been delivered to the house, right?
Now, let me take us back. Let me give us a sepia tone flashback. I didn't think about it while I was watching, but now that you said that, I do remember my dear, sweet, perfect angel, Brooke.
Oh, yeah.
Got her graduation mail. You're right. Yes.
Maybe it's just like boring most of the time.
Oh, maybe.
Because this was only a setup to remind us of her story.
Maybe they're allowed like one care package from home a cycle or something. Maybe.
Yeah.
Anyway, the show has remembered the existence of Rey's daughter, which is terrible news for Rey.
the worst update for Rey.
Best news for Jen, because Jen said, yeah, Rey has thankfully never once mentioned her baby, and good, because I fucking hate kids, is what Jennifer said.
My favorite thing about this house full of wannabe villains is every so often, Jed's like, let me just shoot my shot at being a villain for a little bit, and then I'm going to back up to just being excited about stuff again.
Also, we get a glimpse of digital art, but I only got two quotes.
Ooh, I got one, which was just the word strong.
Yeah, of course you got that one, because they made it so strong.
Did you get the long quote? Because I cried, I and I could not
strong
see
Strong and
it.
Long?
It was not afraid to stand above the others. What the hell does that mean? She was on wire, so
the
she
good
wasn't
thing about you in this competition
them.
Is that you're not afraid to be better than the people you're competing against.
The good thing about you in this competition is you're willing to be taller than the other shorties.
Well, and also, wasn't it a triple first call out?
Mm-mm.
No.
No, this was the not
it's
samurai
just three
samurai.
People in one
right.
shot. This was just three.
It was
sorry.
Progressive
three
of
one
poses.
Person. You were so caught up in the action sequence, you forgot it was one person.
Well, it's because it was three people. I remember when I saw that, I was like, oh, a group shot. It was just the same person three times. They edit together, and I love when you can notice this. Two extremely different talking heads of Rey.
Oh,
because she gets a before and after confessional look, where one's no makeup at all, and then she is CoverGirl blasted in
there
the second.
Also, a bizarre topiary shrubbery background for this confessional that I don't understand.
Is that what Kara turned into? Maybe
I thought maybe that ostrich was new.
I also thought the ostrich was new, but I think
no,
they referenced
the ostrich
before.
Was canonically Lulu because
right,
Ashley talked about her. Guys, you have to keep these together.
Aaron's confessional. Nicole unfortunately can take a wonderful photo. Unfortunately,
the new Paulina.
I love.
She says, "Hold up, JW." Before I have to finish it because she says, "But I don't think her personality is something that everyone can relate to. Like she's rather socially inept. But I know that I have the personality that most girls could relate to. Know thyself, Aaron.
Well, anyone who doesn't relate to Aaron is just a big old Nicole."
I just, I can't. can't get over how many people loathe Nicole and their entire personality becomes defined by Nicole hate.
Well, everybody seems to go on a journey, though, because Ray is on the other side of that journey where she's decided Nicole is fun.
And here's the thing. I'm calling you both out. I am taking you to task because you told me you're like, Ray, secret butthead. And I was like, no, Ray just finally met a person that wasn't Ray style person. And it's like, look at her. Quirky, weird, but do I like it? Is this a little sister?
Counter argument, she still doesn't like Nicole and tells her off that she is not whipping her hair best.
That was Jen.
That was Jen, and you know it. Ray was competing.
I loved everything about Jen in the quote-unquote impromptu hair whipping contest, from the vibe of, I will not participate, but I will judge, to the critique of, Nicole, you're failing miserably.
Also, it's not a huge moment, but I need to address the moment between Nicole and Ray as they are practicing English, because they say the phrase, should we work out? Yes, I have a lot of caffeine. As though this is an ESL conversation where they are learning a vocab.
The exact vibe.
Yes. This is full Duolingo vibe.
Yes.
I'd like to call out another weird moment for Jennifer. Jennifer is getting loopy, yeah. I think. Because Laura reads our Tyra mail. You think you know this competition inside and out? We'll see. And Jennifer asks if everything is spelled normally. What in that sentence could be spelled differently?
Can you read it again? Because now I want to see what I could make.
You think you know this competition inside and out? We'll see.
I guess
S-E-A.
Inside was separate.
Oh, or maybe it's wheel see and it's the car shoot.
This was the most perfect transition, though, for a new storyline.
Yes.
Because it's as though they didn't even know this was going to happen. Is everything spelled normally? Laura, I don't know. I'm severely dyslexic.
And it's so funny, too, because this is something I remember so distinctly about the Laura storyline, you mm-hmm. know? And I even remembered some of the stuff that was part of this episode. But I kind of forgot that it wasn't discussed until now.
Yeah, it's pretty fascinating. My husband is dyslexic, so like when she was talking about things, he was like and then after some research, we were like, oh yeah, that makes sense. Like the fact that Laura's like, this is not about intelligence, which clearly agreed, we know Laura is very sharp, but it's something that doesn't, because there's not a lot of knowledge about it, a lot of signs go missing. Even simple things like when people, you know, kids say like, oh look, an aminal, it's like that actual switching is something really important, and it doesn't usually come out until like third or fourth grade where spelling becomes a thing, because a lot of times you create ways to be able to read that can't quite be.
And I think luckily we're more aware of dyslexia as a potential thing that people are working through, so we're giving people more and more opportunities, you know, to find different ways for them to
accommodations.
To work with their dyslexia. Friend of all of us and one of my best friends, Chris,
who's dyslexic.
Not husband Chris.
The other Chris.
Yeah. I just realized how confusing
that was. Are all Chris's dyslexic?
Yes.
Yes.
Canon.
They're Chris-lexic. I made it fun. But no, I was working on a project with him and I remember this distinctly, and I don't think he'll mind me telling this story, but he wrote down numbers, times for us on something, and they were all, like Laura mentions later, backwards and upside down. And it was really funny because I was just like, oh, I don't want this to sound like some sort of way to anybody, but dyslexia is one of those things that I've heard people talk about, and because I've never experienced it myself, I haven't seen kind of a dyslexic nature put into practice. I haven't like seen someone write something upside down.
You know about it
backwards.
In theory.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So it was very interesting to actually see like, oh wow. And Chris is a writer. You know what I mean? Chris deals with writing and reading on a near daily basis, you know? But so it was just, it was interesting to learn more about. And I appreciate they let Laura describe it in her own words a lot.
Well, and it's very interesting to me to watch Laura handle this, because we've seen one side of Laura where she is very ready to be underestimated and use that to her advantage when she gets, you know, patted on the head for being Southern.
Yeah.
And to see her be ready to be underestimated in a different, much more hurtful way, and the steps she's clearly taken to be able to talk about it and to not let it bring her down too much, even though it has to be in a situation like this, a source of incredible frustration, is really interesting and admirable, I think.
Kind of going off that point, and something she brings up, like one of the best tools of helping with dyslexia is actually emotionally supporting the person with dyslexia and not creating a situation where they're made to feel stupid, which this challenge does not do.
This challenge gets cruel in an almost hilarious way, because what an over-the-top mean prank to do to someone dealing with dyslexia.
I'm gonna kick it to Sunday for, I feel like every episode now we get one perfect giant kernel of narration where they're like, should we give Sunday another shot? And they do it, and it sounds like someone who's telling you their dream from last night. We arrive at CBS studio and we don't know what we're going to be doing or anything, and we walk into this room and the host of Insider and Ant are sitting in chairs.
I just don't know why she mentioned that they're sitting in chairs.
Nothing's wrong with any of those statements.
No, I love so oh my god narration.
It does sound like someone describing a dream to you. I've never noticed that before. That's so funny. Also, y'all, no shade that I know of, because I'm not like a fan or not a fan, but Ant to me is someone from such a specific time and place in the world.
As soon as the words celebrity fit club were mentioned, I was like, this puts me in a specific time and place.
Not only that, at one point before we got to this, him actually saying it, I was like, oh, it's Mario Cantone. Wait, it's not Mario Cantone. Who is it? And then when Lara Spencer was like, Mario Cantone, and I was like, okay, I don't feel as bad. Also, canonically, he changed his name to capital A, capital N, capital T. That is how that is his name.
Also, we should shout it.
Yes.
He and Lara seem like actual friends.
Yeah, I could see that.
Sure. You could only say to an actual friend, you were so good in Laugh Whore.
You know what you were great in?
I gotta say, though, the energy of Lara Spencer is one of the weirdest energies I've ever seen. She also, I gotta say this, she's got a good smize. But she feels like she wants to ruin these people. Like,
she
I don't know
feels
why.
She's like an aggressive 50s record executive in the body of an entertainment reporter.
And I'm a little surprised she didn't showgirl style put some marbles in front of Anne Choquette to be like, and now cycle 14 on, it's Lara's time.
That is not what happens, though. And I'll mention it. But Lara Spencer lies to the girls and says, Tyra does it better than almost anybody I've ever seen.
Also, when she very specifically said, Tyra is good at thinking on her feet. No, she's not. How dare you add that?
I wrote wow in all caps.
We're just lying.
Now, I did like that she said we're going to, I think it was Ant actually, but either way, the fundamentals of how to be a correspondent, should you want to do that. I appreciated that they said, not all models do this, but this is something you maybe could do.
I thought this section and the comments from Ant and Lara were surprisingly pragmatic.
Yeah.
And also felt like everyone was having a good time.
Mm-hmm. I have to mention, I think, and I know we've been giving her a hard time, I think Sunday had to slowly detox from scarves because she is wearing, and this is a show that featured Xiomara, the skinniest scarf I have ever seen in my entire life. It is two strands of yarn wrapped around each other, hanging around her neck. And this might be the last scarf we see from Sunday. So
also, Lara Spencer tells them what they're going to do. which is they're going to interview Ant, who's going to play the role of an actress. And he corrects her and says, or actor.
And then he says, ah, you were right.
And then says, from the film, Attack of the 5-Foot Models, which is never brought up again.
Yeah, they wanted to make one fun joke and then left it on the table. But can we talk about when they say you can become a double or triple threat, like Kim and Brie from Psycho 5, and then only show clips like of them from Psycho 5? So not showing them doing anything else, but appearing on the show.
Y'all, you could have referenced April. You could have
even shown Kim's Veronica Mars clip if you really wanted to.
Like, why didn't you have the footage of anything else? And also, I mean, maybe we just missed it. I don't remember a lot about the Where Are They Now with Brie. Luckily, she'll come back for All-Stars. But was Brie our best example? Kim, sure. I think Kim yeah. proved to be an interviewer and stuff.
Tyra's chagrin. Well, Ray, are you ready to interview Magnuson?
I love these Tyrons for Ant's characters. Ant's cast of characters so much.
Cavalcade.
Honestly,
Ant's cavalcade of stars.
Honestly, Ant has the range. I love these.
We start with Magnuson, Playboy.
This Tyron is so good. The quotation marks.
It's disconcerting because I'm really hot.
Then we get the hillbilly circus music for Aaron and Roberta, the strung out actress.
Why?
I love this moment where she asks about something on set and Roberta, quote unquote, goes, I don't even remember. And Aaron goes, aw, like she's sad for this woman.
I loved Aaron, who you would give Aaron copy. She's going to add 8 more words to it. Right now, it seems like you're riding on top of the world. Seems like.
Seems. Unfortunately, Nicole gets Norman, the high strung actor, not strung out, high strung.
I loved this Shirley Hemphill anecdote.
That's a fake name, right?
It has to be. But Lara is immediately on board for Shirley Hemphill.
It is just a fake Shirley Temple name.
No. Guys, wait. What, you don't know who Shirley Hemphill is? For real, though, she's North Carolina royalty. She is. She's a stand-up.
I know. I just loved the way you said royalty.
She is.
Not that at all.
I didn't know.
It sounded super fake. And then Lara jumping in made it seem even faker.
She was on What's Happening. Like, that's the show that a bunch of people know her from. Now, did I think it was kind of an interesting person to throw out there? Yes. But yeah, North Carolina. We love Shirley.
Okay.
Yeah.
The more you know. Laura is a star because Laura is paired with Cameron, a diva, and she yes-ands this so good that she tricks Ant.
Yes, right at them eyes. That was my favorite.
Do I have a Diet Coke in my hand? Yes, it's right there.
Yes, there is.
Thank you.
Laura catches on to the fact that it's all fake.
All fake.
You also say you want one, I say you have one.
I find it suspicious. One might now say sus that we don't see neither Brittany nor Jen. Mm-hmm. Because I bet both of them were pretty darn good.
Uh-huh. Jen was probably super great.
Yeah, I mean, based on what we see later, and you know Brittany went out there and was capable and like the moment
ignored the bits.
I bet, yeah, exactly. Brittany was like, oh, no, your name's Ant, I believe.
Bye, Ant. Time to go to the next part of this challenge.
So they head to the insider set.
Ant and Anne cannot be in the same place.
Oh, my God. Ant and Anne. So you mentioned making Anne fall via marbles. I think Lara tried to make Anne fall on the stairs that were unnecessary.
What is the insider set?
They don't really sit up there, do they?
After 8 p.m., do they perform the glass menagerie?
Oh, they do sit up there.
Why?
They usually just do it for like transitions and stuff, if I remember correctly. But yeah.
This seems unsafe for no reason. I will say this.
It is unsafe for no reason, but I will say it's kind of iconic. And if I was on the ET set, I'd be like, oh, yeah, let me get up there. That's where you take the picture, you know?
I had a good joke that I can't pass this up.
Do it.
Anne Choquette enters the lair. I'm very proud of it.
I'm very proud of you. And Anne Choquette is liking two things, dots and bracelets. Camille wishes these circles were here.
Also some very breezy curls.
Yeah. This was good. This was good. By the way, I want to prep us emotionally now. This is not her last appearance.
It's getting there. It felt like
cycle.
That.
Next cycle. I know.
It also feels like the last appearance this cycle.
I mean, it's probably, I don't know, they didn't fly her out to Hawaii, did they?
Speaking of being put in a time and place, these contestants will be interviewing Jessica Lowndes from 90210, the reboot.
Is that how we pronounce it? Because it's pronounced five different ways this episode.
I believe it is. Let me say this. In an episode with a Lara and a Lowndes, my accent had a field day being able to roll my way through these L words.
Did you watch the 90210 reboot?
Me?
No.
The royal you.
The people I'm talking to?
Who's that?
You, the audience?
Hey, audience question.
Jane wants to know.
We haven't done a poll in a while. Hey, poll. Did you watch the reboot of 90210? Yes, no, and who are you talking to?
Alexander's a hard no.
I wish all of you could have seen Anna's face. How disappointed she was that me and Alexander forgot how to have a conversation. I watched a lot of it, mostly because I was obsessed with Degrassi, The Next Generation,
yeah, of course.
And Shanae Grimes, aka Darcy, you know. So I watched a lot of it. I had never, my sister had watched the original, but only through like the Brenda years.
I also watched the original through the Brenda years, and then occasionally off and on after that. I watched like maybe the first season of the reboot, and I will say the best moment, if you ever find yourself on YouTube and need a cheer up,
yeah,
look up the late great Jessica Walters performing Mama Who Bore Me from Spring Awakening in the context of the 90210 reboot.
Sold.
Everything you want it to be.
Do you remember if Jessica Lowndes was good?
I don't.
Okay.
Well, Jennifer said
Silver.
Ew.
Did I make that up?
I doubt you. I want to look that up now though, but whoo, that was that is a, let's see what she is. Yeah, she was Adriana or Adriana. Okay. I think there was one though, like a Silver, but that sounds like, whoo, what a crazy name to give somebody.
Jennifer looked at Jessica and said, not a star. She was not here for this interview.
Well, it also must have been so boring for her to mostly have to, I was giving it to Jessica that she had to answer one question 100 times.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then
rapid succession.
Watch people struggle the rest of the time. This must have been embarrassing by proxy for her.
This, once again, this teach had nothing to do with the challenge because they are throwing out so many new skills. Fact sheets.
Teleprompters.
Improvisation.
Which teleprompter was spelled normally, not the like capital.
Lost that brand deal.
Although, you know, they lost that brand deal. They also lost the tele. We got a lot of prompter.
Prompter.
Well, maybe it literally, I can't believe this is so
it
stupid.
Might be an auto cue or something.
Yeah, I was about to say, maybe E.T. was like, we don't use a teleprompter. You know, we want to get that right. By the way, they're getting a beauty story in 17 magazine.
That's their prize.
They have to fill 2 minutes and don't ever stop. And yes, we'll be watching from the control room. Bye, ladies.
Miguel is the director of The Insider.
He has no last name.
In Cisco. Hmm.
In the context of the show, he did not
he
have
has
last
no
name.
Last name.
Oh, no.
No.
But he does get thrown under the bus later.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, Can't wait to talk about how Lara deflects.
Can I give you a little factoid about Miguel?
Please.
It's not fun.
Oh.
Over the course of 1 year, he directed 228 episodes of Swift Justice with Nancy Grace.
God, I wanted that to be a Taylor Swift judge show.
Oh, I gotta say though, everyone has different opinions on Nancy Grace. That is a fun fact to me. Because can you imagine the stress of that show?
Oh my God.
We also meet Robert, the stage manager, who has quite a bit of goatee.
And according to IMDb, no Robert has ever worked for The Insider. Is he a ghost?
He is a ladder ghost. I got to say, there was something. Jennifer.
Oh, my God.
Is so endearing and also so natural. When she climbs up, she sits there and immediately, no hesitation to Jessica, a celebrity that theoretically she should be a little starstruck by, just goes, oh, this is a little frightening. And it like warms Jessica up.
Immediately, you know, like, her friend. So smart.
Yeah. Oh, really good Jen moment.
Talking about, I missed it because this is, but about Jessica, because we know all about, obviously, 90210. Mm. She was also in a ton of Lifetime and Hallmark movies. And let me just give you a little sprinkling of some of them. A Deadly Adoption, nice. Which starred Will Classic. Ferrell and Kristen Wiig.
Well, that was a sort of parody.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Magical Christmas Ornaments.
Yes. Mm.
A Father's Nightmare.
Oh.
I'm pretty sure Magical Christmas Ornaments are my father's nightmare.
Then, so Rediscovering Christmas, Too Close for Christmas, and Mix Up in the Mediterranean.
Y'all, there's just nothing better than Hallmark Christmas movie titles and Lifetime, like, the dramatic movie titles. There's just nothing better.
JW, she was also Mandy in Greek.
She was.
I forgot she was on Greek.
Oh my God.
We have to do that rewatch, JW.
We really do. Even if it's just for ourselves, which can you imagine watching a TV show, the two of us, for ourselves and not telling everyone exactly our thoughts on everything, but still.
Anyway, it's time for a non-gentle prank.
Aggressive prank.
That Lara is here for.
This was Lara's idea.
Excited. Yeah,
I'm going to argue. Yes, I think Lara was like, this isn't as much fun as I wanted it to be. Baby. Let's
lose
baby.
That prompter, baby.
Baby.
She uses the word baby far too much.
So much.
Like, I feel like Anne's like, should we like stop this? This.
You just see her inching further and further away. Anne is like, I was here to root for them.
I like to help young women, and it feels like you want to destroy them.
This is the energy of a woman who did indeed write two books about flea markets.
Can't disagree.
True story. Two separate books.
They blank Jennifer's prompter. She does great.
Immediately recovers.
The way Jennifer describes it. There I am reading it. And can you believe blank? That, and you can believe, is the funniest thing. Jennifer's almost too good at narration.
Yes. She's just keeping herself amused now.
Yeah.
Sunday says, ask the question, aren't you from like Canada though? Because she, in her mind, thinks that being on the show 90210 means that's where you live.
But also Sunday's scowl.
Oh my God. The full frowny face.
Like, they get out Laura later for having to take a pause and do that. But I'm like, it's not like you could edit around Sunday's face when that happened.
Then never has a brow been more furrowed.
And then it's cruel to do this to Laura, because this is exactly how she's described her dyslexia.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Like, the show knew when they were editing this together what was happening. And you know what? Look, I get that theoretically a lot of ET is live to tape or just live or whatever.
Sure.
But her just going, sorry, I'm just going to calm down for a minute. And then going right into it. I'm like, what more did you want?
It was fine. The curse was not great, but it just happened for a moment.
Oh, my
God. It wasn't. Yeah.
The captions lie. That the stretch it out, clearly hand motion is keep it going.
Yeah,
no, it's
stretch
not.
It out. It's stretch it
stretch
out.
It out.
Yeah, wrap it up. Stretch it out. We have two hand signals. Can I ask, did Erin audibly snap her fingers when she asked her first question?
It sounded like she did.
I swear she goes like, okay, let's go, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, what? Why did you snap your fingers?
She is, rejuvenated.
It is so funny to me to see Erin repeat the question that we all know because it's the fourth time we've heard it.
Yep.
And throw in a such as, an unnecessary such as.
Just dealing new words to us. And then Ray is trying to put her face into Jessica because she is leaning so far forward.
Maybe her baby has a very quiet voice.
I'm relating to you.
Hey, Jessica, what was that again? I didn't quite hear.
And this isn't even about being a petite model. I'm like, can't you even just draw the energy from Jessica sitting with better posture?
Just mirror.
Yeah. And then we get to Nicole.
I love a moment of someone who clearly paid attention, wants to do the assignment correctly, and just whiffs it so hard.
I'm going to say, though, Jessica agrees with Tyra and thinks that young moms shouldn't be a thing.
Yeah, but you can also definitely have a baby at 20.
Yes, you can.
Oh, absolutely. And I agree that that was weird wording for her, but you got to imagine that she was caught off guard in that's a way like, that she was like,
she's
what?
Done the same questions over and over again. She's ready to keep doing them. And then all of a sudden, this little redheaded pixie is asking her if she's ever had kids.
Are you pregnant?
Pregnant?
Pregnant. Also, this is, I know it's weird. It's not that inappropriate for her to ask this. There are far more inappropriate questions she could have asked in regards to this same topic.
I thought it was strange to frame it as an inappropriate question. That was an odd word choice to
here's
me.
The thing, though. Later, Anne Choquette says that she asked a couple of really inappropriate questions. And I wonder if they truly were some that they couldn't even edit into the episode. I
mean, have you ever given a baby away?
Yeah, if she kept on that line. And have you ever been to rehab?
Let's see. Babies. How do we make babies? Normally sex. Hey, Jessica, have you ever been railed hard?
In a sundress? She could hear Lara from the control room, just kept saying, baby, baby, baby. And she's like, a pregnant baby.
You know, it's really a shame she didn't have her enormous tote with her on set, because maybe she could have gone in there and
this
found
is
a question.
Not the first time we've seen this enormous tote. And I know pretty much what this tote looks like, even though we've not seen it full on, because when I worked at Urban Outfitters when I was 19 years old, we sold this bag. It was Andy Warhol, like, on the design, and there was an Andy Warhol quote on the inside of the strap that was, that like, tracks. Usually, like, silver or gold.
Yeah, that's very cute for Nicole.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And also feels in line with what she would get. We just got to learn. You know what? This is, top models love a tote. Top models love a big tote. That's just
they're
what
told.
They love. They love
model basics. Yeah. You're doing it right.
So the winner is Erin.
And the winner is not announced before Lara blames Miguel, our naughty director, for throwing you for a loop.
And also, after that, she makes them all answer by saying feet in unison. We have to think on our what? Feet. That's right. What?
Because you're all wearing flats.
But
who's the owner of Wiki Feet? It's me, Lara Spencer.
Lara might be one of the most chaotically neutral people we've had on this show in a long time, who's just like a choice machine. And I wonder if Anne took her aside and was like, hey, you might replace me for a little while. I wasn't
energy.
Great at first either. I wasn't great at first either, Lara. I'm not saying we don't grow.
Look, here's what I'll say for you. You talk at the correct volume. And that can be a lot for a young woman to learn when they first start appearing on television.
I have laughed harder so far at the two of you today than ever before. Cycle 13 is such a gift.
It's really the reboot of Podlitum.
Mm. Oh.
Of course I thought of you, Alexander, when Sunday said that Erin is not charming at all.
Erin is not obnoxious.
Sure, she's obnoxious.
Obnoxious.
She picks Jen and Ray to go with her to the beauty shoot. And Anne says goodbye in a way that foretells us that she will not be at this shoot.
Yeah.
Why did they make Chris Eckert, the photographer, introduce 17's holiday beauty blowout?
I've never seen anyone want less to talk to a camera. We've talked a lot about people loving and not loving cameras, but Chris is in a recent separation from a camera.
It was not amicable.
I did not like the phrase 17's holiday beauty blowout.
But you know who did? Erin, because she's the happiest camper you've ever seen.
That's a really good Erin impression. I love it.
Also, it's not a beauty shot, Erin. Half of your face is covered.
That being said, she got the closest because they make Jennifer just turn her back to camera.
It's fun to be 17. Let's go.
Chris Eckert, I will say, I looked up his photography, is still an active photographer, has some gorgeous photography if you ever want to look it up. And I thought could get it here. And he has only grown into his getting it. Yes.
Into his Luke Wilson-ness?
He figured out a haircut. Yeah, he did look like Luke Wilson.
Yes.
I think the seal statue is new, and that might be Kara.
Sure. We'll know if, like, Nicole trips over and bonks her head on the seal statue because Kara's still attacking her.
You know how when you're at home and the doorbell rings, so you yell, "The doorbell!"
Yeah, the doorbell rings.
Absolutely not.
No way.
Did they know they had one though? They were like, a doorbell.
Poked her head in and went, "Doorbell, doorbell, doorbell."
Ding dong, ding dong.
That's a doorbell.
They have almost Tiffany style boxes.
They made this too complicated. There was too much ribbon.
Well, and Jen thinks that it's shoes, double hands to face shoes.
She just wants a fucking pair of high heels.
Well, that's what I was saying. I was like, Jennifer, you know darn well they're not giving you heels.
Actually, they're assisting kits. Kits sent to assist.
And they make Brittany, you know, a producer was like, "Brittany, there's actually a lot of copy here. We need you to read this." And she's like,
"Brittany,
got
you
it.
Like rules, right?
Yeah.
Rules are the words of math.
There's numbers in it. There's a time."
Oh, the moment. I love that they each were provided with their own little cheat stopwatch.
Especially since I'm pretty sure Laura wears it to set the next day.
She does. Also, captions have given up putting G's on the end of Laura's ING words.
Replaced them with apostrophes.
It's more work.
But it's also not inaccurate.
No, it gives you a clearer picture of Laura, to be fair.
Yeah.
So they are told they have to be no more than 25 seconds.
And it has to end with the very specific brand name.
And I'm pretty sure there's more talking points that they give them in their assisting kits.
Oh, there for sure is, because guys, they only have to write one sentence. One sentence they have to write.
And that's why Erin is done.
Yes, she comes
minutes.
Up with hers.
Yeah.
She comes up with her, and we'll talk about it later, very arrogant line, and then double deuces her way out of there.
I'm shocked she didn't just like fart on her way out. Also, there's a little discrepancy because, and maybe it's stuff they cut out, but we just hear her go like, "I'm done." And then every other girl in a talking head is like, she screams "done" and then did it dance and then like, fucked off, like
set a fire, peed on that fire, killed all our moms.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like Top Model would show us the footage if they had the people also talk about it. Something tells me that these contestants, by the time they gave this confessional, had created a worse picture of what happened in their mind.
I think it's the moment of just being like, done, added in with Erin's
everything else.
Consistent existing personality.
Sure. Yeah,
there is one good thing from this box that I wish would go forward by providing them the product so they can handle it and hold it and maybe practice with it.
Absolutely.
Mm. Yeah. And you could tell people like Jennifer did that.
Yes. When we head to Siren Studios and Jay turns the swivel chair around,
an extremely freshly dyed Jay.
Yeah. Yeah. He, unlike Erin, has got a refresh.
Yeah.
And Tiana says, "I didn't do the best." And I stopped and I went, how far back do we actually need to go to find someone that did well at
who
a cover
also
girl
won?
Commercial?
That ultimately won.
Yes. Which, how far back do we have to go for the winner that did well? Because I think it's quite far back.
Well, let's do it. And okay, let's do it in live. So Tiana, cycle 12. No.
No.
McKee, cycle 11, I would say.
No. You would say, she was.
I would say no then, and I would say no now. Whitney, cycle 10, absolutely.
Oh, my God.
Salisha, that was her whole thing, was breaking under pressure. Yep. Cycle 8 would be who they liked hers. I did.
Renee was much better.
Oh, as discussed at length at the time.
Then cycle 7, that Catalan thing with
Carrie D.
Carrie D, but I will say her three-person final commercial was quite good.
Yes.
Okay, so Carrie D.
Carrie D.
Carrie D's probably
almost
one you could argue.
Back, though.
Yeah. It's almost as if, even though this is a great episode every cycle, it does not matter in the ultimate winner.
But I just want to say right now, since we're this from here on out for the rest of the episode is one of my favorite top model episodes of all time.
Yeah.
Peek behind the curtain.
Mm-hmm.
We have watched this episode together multiple times.
Especially the judging.
The judging and the commercial.
And the commercial. Yeah.
It's
everything you want in a CoverGirl commercial episode.
Also, I'm going to say it. Tiana, right here, speaks very naturally to the contestants.
Yeah.
She does. She's very good with them. But the oh-so-casual sitting on the makeup table, leaning all the way over to talk about product, just...
Well, but also shading her cycles. Like, you guys get to use all three. We only got to use one. I was like, did they tell you to say that, Tiana? Because that feels like Tiana's like, yeah, that's why I failed.
Yeah. I don't know, Tiana. Giving you more product would not have necessarily been helpful.
Nigel comes in jeans. I'm not saying I like it or dislike it. I just like it when he's in jeans because it's like casual Nigel, not in a big suit.
He immediately touches Tiana's lower back.
He does really quickly.
Yeah.
Very quickly.
So Nicole is first.
Her easy breezy beautiful cover girl.
It's the best one in the history of the show, right?
It's so good.
Mm-hmm. I don't think anyone has ever delivered it better.
I'm going to say this, though. When we get to their commercials, Jen and Laura, that particular line, also really, really slam that home.
Yeah, I like Jen's commercial. I think she's a little too head boppy for me.
I agree.
But Nicole's is like, it's
she just nails the line.
And it's so great to see them.
Well,
do
she got it.
Well, she got it.
Perfect hair color for that too, really.
And room.
It's nice to have a commercial that seems so realistic. And also, I like that Nigel is seen showing them where your eye line is, yep. Where your body can go. Hey, I know this looks a little weird here, but you actually can walk in front of it because it'll look good on camera.
It is so nice. It's such a small thing to ask for, but to let them know where the camera is.
And also, relief. I don't know how helpful it was, but the conversation seemed generally nice. Mr. J pulls them out of hair and makeup individually to go over their original line that they wrote. Talk a little bit about what they need to work on. And most of those conversations seem pretty fine. Helpful. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I have a question. Why is Sunday in a white bondage corset in this white room?
Well, that Jennifer also gets... Jennifer gets a petite harness over her petite top.
It was so odd. I don't want to blast past
our lash blast.
Nicole saying cut and like chopping her hands. I mean, like, can I do that? No.
And then her reply of, oh, darn it. Okay.
Captions Crunch does Sunday a little dirty. Because
this is what I heard too. I agreed with Captions Crunch here.
What was it?
It says, brown eyes, be very calm, and yet very beautiful.
That is also what I heard.
I heard can.
No, brown eyes can be very calm, which is not apparently what she actually said, but it's what I heard, at least for this take.
Oh, calm, yes. They dropped can. So they said brown eyes, be very calm.
Oh, that I didn't that
oh,
I didn't
I don't think she
hear.
Said that. No.
No, she said can no. be.
Yeah.
But I don't think she actually said calm.
I don't know what she said there.
Even though it's what we heard. Because as we see her take later, it's not what happens.
No, she's obviously saying common, and she just swallows it the first time.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But I didn't know that as I was rewatching. I forgot that, and I was like, calm.
Jennifer's Hey Girls is maybe the most brilliant thing anyone's ever written for a CoverGirl commercial.
God.
Why so does perfect. Every CoverGirl commercial not start with Hey Girls?
Yeah, it's so
and Nigel
smart.
Wants to give her a little clap. That's how good it is.
Petite clap.
Also, her gesturing with eye lights.
I love the moment where she like looks at it and then looks back to camera. There's something so brilliant about that.
She's so natural.
So that's what it is. She's just so natural on camera.
It's very Leo Tipton levels.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
of
absolutely.
Doing this. It's got that same energy to it. And you know, it'd be an actual fun thing to do is bottom 10 and top 10 CoverGirl commercials of Ooh. All cycles ever. And this is going to be in anyone's top 10. It's undeniable. Yeah. No matter how you feel about Jen as a contestant in general, you would love like this commercial. Like this is printable. And it, it could be editing, but it felt like she did it in a take.
Yeah, it really did.
Because that's the one thing about Nicole. Like, there was definitely, like, a ramp up to hers.
And because it happens every episode, I have the note, Laura is cute when she is talking.
Did Mr. J give her actual good advice?
Seems like it.
I think he did.
Because when she says my backup quote of, yeah, I didn't really get her nothing for her birthday, I melted.
Well, and the thing is, and I don't think she's doing it on purpose here, but she was so charming to Nigel before the camera even started rolling.
Yep.
That I think, in a way, he was predisposed to be on her side, to give her more time, just because she's using what she's got. I love Laura.
And also, again, it's Laura is Nigel's first friend ever. And so he's like, Laura, I don't know what it is about you, but I just want to hear you talk and your thoughts and feelings and ideas and dreams and hopes.
You're a woman. You're attractive. I like listening to you talk.
Laura, you just confuse me. Now, it's the return of the miss, because Jen is now saying Miss Erin. We could have a supercut of how many people call her Miss Erin.
We also have a new makeup person, Bruce Grayson.
The makeup's good in these.
And I guess that's why they call it exact.
He's been the lead hair and makeup person for the Oscars, the Emmys, the Grammys, and the SAG Awards. And was the makeup person for Rent Live and The Little Mermaid Live.
Wow. But books? I mean, but that means that his thing is very much for live shows, which is interesting. He knows lighting, if that is true.
Oh, yeah. Oh, also has done the last four Survivor reunions.
I guess those do have makeup people. It's just funny to think of Survivor, a show where every episode doesn't have makeup for anyone but Jeff Probst.
But for live reunions.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, they always look gorgeous, that transformation.
Why did Bruce not want to say the word copy?
I don't know.
I don't know.
It was noticeable, though. Hey, guys, we have a range of blue. Because blue can be clear sky blue or cloudy blue. I love Ray's dumb line where she's like, your blues can be anything.
Happy blue, sad blue, medium blue, gray blue. The ADR of Nigel saying to Ray, if we don't see you, you can't successfully represent CoverGirl, with his gesturing hand where he's clearly saying something else.
Yeah, the rare Nigel ADR. Also, when we get to Erin, the captions crunch of all her noises.
Oh.
But especially for the lip trill, BBLB for.
How does she start crying this quickly? I was like, is it the show doing her dirty? Is it escalating? It really doesn't seem like it is. I feel like she thought she was going to nail it in one take. And as soon as she makes one mistake, crumbles. She's just crying.
I think Erin. Because the way she describes it later, it feels like she takes no responsibility for these yips. And it's as though someone has, like, made of Erin voodoo doll and is, like, pinching her lips or something. It feels like an outside attack to Erin.
It does. It's like she thinks they set her up to fail somehow.
Somehow.
Even though her setup is the exact same as everyone else's.
Her eyes in the talking heads are so red. How long was she crying?
And this is all distracting from her bonkers lines that she read for herself.
Oh my God.
I forgot all about this. And yet I've watched this episode 10 times at least, when she says, like most women, my eyes look great in any light. Hey, excuse me?
I love that she makes it a woman thing.
Hey, ladies, you know how every light's good? One might have. Also, I'm going to argue, if your eyes look great in any light, you don't need this product.
You don't need eye lights.
She also seems to think that the main problem is that she can't remember the lines, instead of the main problem being the yelping and the screeching and the crying, and the turning her back to camera when she starts crying, like she thinks that means people won't figure it out.
Also, when she immediately, they touch up her makeup, she immediately growls and scowls, and then tries to, the insane smile, where she's like.
The two bleach blondes turn Nigel into Jim Halpert.
Yes. Yeah. his little head shake to camera after he tries to calm down Aaron is just like,
And then she finally gets a usable take. Finally, until she says the last line, and right after CoverGirl gives the biggest, saddest sniff that has ever been sniffed. So even her one okay take is unusable.
Unusable. That sniff.
So here's the thing, because I, to save a little money recently, got Hulu Basic. So I've been having, I know where the commercial breaks are a little bit more literally. There are some weird commercial break moments. And I don't know if this is how it originally aired, but right now, if you watch it on Hulu, we get that Aaron confessional of, I can't stop crying. And then it goes to commercial, but and then goes back to them reading the skull mail, which is a weird place for it. But I also noticed that judging was started way earlier in the episode than normal, because there's just so much they talked about at judging.
I also enjoyed that it was toothbrushing time during skull mail.
Furious toothbrushing. That enamel is flying off those teeth.
I don't get Tyra's outfit at panel.
Was she standing more tensely than normal, or were the shoulders just that high?
The shoulders that were tacked on before filming started, because those aren't part of that, right? It's just a vest with some pinstripe fabric.
Cat ears.
Yeah, not even cap sleeves.
And Tyra points out that there's nobody in the back row anymore, which means we're dwindling down, down, down.
Erin did show pony hair to remind everyone she's a winner.
And the guest judge is Kim Kardashian.
Oh my God. I forgot.
I also forgot.
Let me say, I know that as a society, for most of us, Kim Kardashian is not it. I love Khloe Kardashian because she's in on the joke. That's neither here nor there.
Talking about Khloe Kardashian, I had to block her on Twitter, not for her own tweets, but for the promoted Candy Crush things recently.
Oh, yeah.
Let me just play Candy Crush in peace.
Let me just say that for me, I'll give a twiggy for me. I thought Kim Kardashian was a fine to average judge.
I would agree with that.
Agreed.
There are one or two moments that I find hilarious, but on the whole, I thought she did a pretty good job.
She's not the worst of the cycle.
She's no,
not, she's not the she worst also of the cycle.
Spoke in her real voice,
yeah,
not the affected voice. But also, when she was introduced, Tyra says she has her own reality show. She's the co-owner of Dash Boutiques. I'm like, remember the time where that was the only description for Kim Kardashian?
Yeah, right. Early Kim Kardashian.
And then Tyra does a weird manners girls moment where she says, say hey to her, y'all. Why?
Do we ever say hello to the guest judge?
Also, why wasn't Lara and or Ann Choquette the guest judge? It seems like a
perfect little
guest. Even Ann. Yeah, seriously.
This week, you shot a CoverGirl commercial where you had to come up with your own script. Lie, they did not.
Part of it.
I would argue more than a model normally does.
Because what they were given, basically, was it only takes 3 steps to brighten your eye color with Exact Eyelights Eye Brightening Mascaras, Liners, and Shadows. Wear the whole collection to bring out your eye color. Exact Eyelight from Easy Breezy Beautiful CoverGirl. That's what they were all given. And they have some, thank you. They have some version of that. And I think a lot of times the reason we don't get that exactly is because people are fucked up rather than, you know,
being
wrong.
Absolutely.
Jennifer is first.
She does so well. I agree with you, Alexander, that I think the head bobbing at the end is a little extreme. So relatable. So cute.
Cover girl, though. Give me a bob. I like
it. And not only is she the best and the most natural, she gives the least amount of her line, but it's so effective. Like, it really speaks to all she said was, hey, girls, did you know that no matter where you are or what you're doing, and then goes into the copy.
Yeah, she makes the copy sound natural.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Now, I want to say 2 things. One, during her commercial, the entire time I was like, you know what? Jennifer's really worked to figure out how to kind of even out the look of her eyes. A storyline she's had the entire time. And then for Miss J to go, I just wish there was a little bit more animation in the eye. She has... Tosas! I was just like, I'm sorry. It may have just been how it was phrased, but I did not like animation it. In the eye. Singular. And I know some of you are going to be like, that's just how you say it. You just say like anime in the eye. I don't know. It felt pointed in a way I didn't enjoy.
Laura is next. And y'all.
Best first line ever. I'm sorry.
Yes.
We say this to each other all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you're from a big city or a small town, we all want to catch someone's eye. Perfect. I wish I could write that well.
Best written commercial, I'm going to say.
Yes.
Oh,
if she got it out, it would have been top.
Mm-hmm. And the best thing is, and Tyra says this, the best thing is that then Laura can be as Southern as she wants. And it's just like, yeah, that's who you're hired for this. This is specific. I know she had so many flubs during it and had so many stilted moments. But I like the way she said cover girl. She said it with a different inflection than you normally do. It's like she was like, it's going to be a bad impression, but easy, breezy, beautiful cover girl. And then had a little eyebrow raise. And I was like, I like the difference.
She put a little comma in there where there isn't one usually, yeah. I feel like. And it really worked to make cover girl the point.
Yeah.
I also really appreciate, I was proud of her for defending herself by being like, no, severely dyslexic. You're not going to brush me off.
Yeah. I saw what you did in Cycle 8 with Brittany and her memory stuff, and I stand.
Brittany comes up wearing the sluttiest tea time dress yet.
When we see the back of this later?
That was a sexy funeral.
She got kicked out of this funeral for being Brittany? The mistress of the dead.
You know what Brittany kind of dresses like? Every single Pretty Little Liars promo image.
Yes.
Yes.
That is what the
No, look. I think she's just cycling through like CW ABC Family characters because there was a Rory Gilmore dress.
Yeah.
There was a Pretty Little Liars dress. I love this.
I am going to say something controversial yet brave about Pretty's commercial. I don't like her speaking voice, her commercial speaking voice.
Oh, interesting.
I didn't think she was as robotic as they're trying to make out. I thought the big problem with this commercial is that it was really poorly written.
Yeah. In a hurry or on the go, I always enhance my natural looks.
Sorry. There was a mouse. I apologize. Fucking brazen, bold as shit. I apologize. I hate them.
Keep it in. Keep it in, baby.
It wasn't that I found her voice robotic. It was that I agree that it was poorly written, but I also, she speaks in a way that it sounded like it was written in a foreign language and then she was just reading words without any kind of like
inflection
or understanding of what was being said.
You know what? I'm going to agree with that. I don't think it was as badly written necessarily. I do 100% agree that she's one of those folks that, and they to the show's credit, they say it, she had it memorized and then knew how to clearly deliver it, but had forgotten that she has to sound like she's actually talking to someone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or that she likes, she didn't sell it.
No.
Yeah. You could tell she had rehearsed, like even her hands come out for get the whole collection. Like you could tell everything was like just a little bit too perfectly done.
But then for the panel to act like 1 + 1 = 3 is good copy.
Breaks Brittany's brain.
I am honestly surprised that Brittany allowed the panel to continue among the land of the living, because when Tyra, we got to set this up more, because when Tyra's like, you know, how is someone going to relate to you? You're the mathematician, right? And Brittany goes, I'm multidimensional.
And then Tyra makes fun of her to her face.
As for having girl more than say, one interest. Mommy, she's multidimensional. Maybe.
Maybe. Yeah. Not you, idiot. Like, the way Brittany looked at Tyra after she was like, Mommy, I want to be multidimensional. She's like, I will murder every living descendant.
But also, how old are the women you're trying to sell this to?
Not 5-year-olds. Year old,
they're not buying CoverGirl.
Yeah. Aren't we talking to like women and young women?
That was a perfect Tyra 2 list, by the way, Alexander. Women and also young women.
It was also a Celine Dionism, to be fair.
But if you're going to do dumb commercial copy, and I'm not against dumb commercial copy.
Oh, no.
But it can't be 1 + 1 = 3. It has to be like 1 + 1 = fierce. It has to be really stupid to work.
Actually, can I make 1 + 1 = 3 work?
Do it.
For this particular product only, you can be like, I've studied math my entire life, and 1 + 1 = 3 steps to perfect eyelids, you know, blah, blah, blah. Because Trevor, it's a three-step thing.
What is the 1 + 1? That's...
I'm saying I could make also, it work.
This proves that Tyra's understanding of maths is addition, end of list. Because later she does the same, where it's like, you don't know any higher math.
Can I also ask a pronunciation way. Question?
Sure.
And yeah. I'm ready as with my accent to always be wrong about stuff, but I've always said mathematician. But we get a lot of mathematicians or mathematicians.
Mathematician. No, it's because it's spelled with an E. So, but that doesn't mean people are supposed to pronounce it.
But Tyra,
I think it's acceptable to do either. Although okay, mathematician is crazy.
And that's, I've recently started saying maths because yeah. I just have more and more friends that say that. I don't know why. I know it's better. More popular, like with, in, you know, other.
I know it's a British thing.
It is yeah. a British thing. Mm-hmm. Well, it also because it is a plural. Like,
yeah, it's mathematics.
Mathematics.
Anyway, it's terrible advice from Tyra.
It's awful advice.
And they're also, you're right. It's all the big, like, wow, can Tyra, you believe?
She just Tyra, came up with it like so good. That.
Girls, she thought on her feet.
No, she didn't. She watched this commercial before and was like, I'm going to write better math copy.
I appreciate that Kim Kardashian defended Nicole's look.
I did too.
Because Tyra acts like wearing glasses is the biggest sin a model could make. And I love Nicole's like, I can't see you.
Especially because this is Nicole's personality. She then gets dinged for not bringing her real personality to the commercial, but it still popped, so it's fine.
Y'all, I actually got kind of physically angry because I think it is so... I'm not going to do it again, but the discussion about what is quote-unquote personality is so infuriating most of the time. Mm-hmm. But Nicole literally tried to give you a good, and it was, solid commercial, and also tried in person to show off her real geek chic, as Kim Kardashian said, personality, and you won't give her either?
Also, she looks so fucking great in this commercial.
She nails the last line, which is the most important thing. She nails the gesturing. I thought her gesturing was more natural than her speech, but her speech is not that affected. It is a full B+ at least.
Yeah. Especially since all we've talked about is how stoned she sounds, quote unquote, all the time.
She gets no credit.
Zero.
I will say she had a dumb line, though. I let my eyes do the talking. I'm like, all right. We're...
That's a cover girl line. That is a cover girl line.
You know what would have been amazing, though, if she had said that and then just widened her eyes and narrowed them and didn't speak for the rest of the end.
No, that's what I was going to say. I wish that Nicole had shown off her ventriloquism skills at this moment and just widened her eye or blinked her eyes.
Yeah, if it was like fully Morse code blinking.
Perfect. Absolutely perfect.
Ray comes up. And once again, I cannot understand what's being said in this commercial. Like, I don't, it's so bad.
And Miss J's, I think, really points out the biggest problem is she's fidgeting so much and moving shifting. Around so much. And that product, I'm surprised she didn't open it at some point the way she was twisting it around.
I love that Tyra is like, I just felt like you were pushing and you needed to push more, maybe, which no, she needed to relax. And then Jay's just like, I just thought you moved too much.
Also, Kim Kardashian gives a better understanding of Ray's problems than Tyra does.
Absolutely does. Mm-hmm. Actually, Kim Kardashian does that a couple of times. I think, like, low-key, Kim Kardashian might make, like, a decent director, or at least coach on this kind of stuff. I think
she knows how to be on camera.
Yes. That's Amen. What I was going to say. She understands the camera and how a camera perceives you. Mm-hmm. Sunday. Wearing no scarf or accessories.
And forces them to give her credit for it. They don't want to. And she's like, no, my neck is naked and afraid. Say something nice to me.
Oh, Lord.
It was kind of mean of Miss J to like set her up for crazy. Look, there's a lot. And I know Alexander's been waiting the entire time to do this impression of Sunday for this commercial. But the thing that gets me is this crazy down the barrel stare at the stuff.
Why didn't they cut it out?
Because I needed it.
Brown eyes can be very common, yet very beautiful. Luckily, CoverGirl helped me make my brown eyes really pop and stand out. You could wear the Who collection to brighten your eyes.
The luckily was even bigger than luckily.
Luckily.
Was that and the, you can wear the whole collection.
Brown eyes can be very common, yet also very beautiful.
That is one of the worst lines I've ever heard.
Oh my God. When Tyra said she has the best written script.
They're trolling her.
Brittany lit a match and was like, absolutely not.
I really enjoyed Kim Kardashian's amused side eye at Sunday. It was absolutely perfect because it wasn't too mean.
And again, yeah, and also, like, again, she gives a pretty good critique of, like, I was just so focused on the saleswoman aspect of you that I couldn't focus on how beautiful you actually looked in the commercial.
It was like, practically movie phone.
Yes. And I actually don't think that Tyra and Jay, while they have fun with it, actually do the correct, because it's they're doing like a Sunday impression. When it's not, it's far flatter.
She does look very cute, though.
She looks adorable.
Mm-hmm. Despite having a terrible outfit that they slapped her in.
Oh, my God.
The whole collection. I just can't get over her pushing that part so hard.
And then Paula Pell in co-op. Her commercial is next. Because
I want to go to the eye doctor now.
God damn it. If that is not far off from what Erin does in this commercial.
Well, before they even start playing the commercial, the she starts crying in front of them.
Her outfit is also terrible. We talked her about hair. I know her hair, but her outfit is also bad.
And then she leans against the wall.
The lean.
For such a long time.
Oh my God. She's cried so much that she's dehydrated and can no longer hold herself up. And then, and I said it before, but I'm going to say it again, that big cover girl. Unusable.
Yeah, I'm going to say it. She obviously should have gone home.
Obviously. Yes!
Like, this might be the worst commercial we've ever had. Because at least
this is on the level of Jade's. Yep, this is on the level of Jade's.
But at least Jade's Fabulous, you could probably pick out a chunk here and there.
At least she was happy to be there in the beginning.
Yeah, like, you could probably have given, like... Someone, okay, I'm remembering the commercial. It
would
have been hard.
You could have done copy over her walking silently. You could have done a voiceover.
Yeah.
We've used this analogy for bad commercials before, but never before has it seemed more like someone was being held hostage to do a CoverGirl commercial. Mm.
They also tell her that the motion camera doesn't like her. Motion camera? Is that what we're calling it?
Alexander, I have to push back on your Tyra doesn't know higher math theory, because when Erin puts her chin down, her beauty goes up 85%.
1 inch down equals 85% up.
I want Tyra to actually do that math, though. Private panel. What is this foreplay about catchphrases between Nigel and Tyra?
I don't mean to be rude, and I don't want to reduce every relationship to this, but they were definitely boning.
Yes.
This cycle.
H to T, H to knee, F to C, V to A.
I did like that for once, Nigel seemed weirdly chill and sympathetic about Laura, his only friend.
His only friend.
Yeah.
Then we have a quick storyline we need to get in that Ray is forgettable. You know, the person with two first callouts.
She has, until today, had the best overall portfolio of any of the contestants.
I'm gonna say up until this episode, within any individual cycle, probably the best portfolio, end of sentence.
Yeah.
When you look at her montage at the end, you're just like, flawless, top call out, flawless, interesting, her face looks
amazing.
All different.
Oh, her face looks amazing in a different way. Oh, her face looks amazing in a third, other different way.
Oh, good with tons of makeup, good with zero makeup. Like, she had one average photo, and that was the weird ninja motion shot, which, okay, well, she'll never use that for anything anyway.
Kim Kardashian said, kill Erin.
Kim Kardashian also said, using her Glamourly description, and I don't even remember who she was talking about, but they were someone that she was visually attracted to.
Ray. She was trying to defend Ray.
Yes, and I appreciate the defense, but...
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Visually attracted to this person was just great.
Also... Brittany's connection to math is a good thing.
Yeah, Kim and Tyra fighting over, is Erin hard on herself or just really unprofessional?
Really unprofessional.
You know what this tells me is Kim Kardashian really cares about professionalism, because of Britney, she's like, she did seem very rehearsed,
but very professional.
Who is it? Is it like, what's the other one that's not Chloe? The other sister?
Courtney.
Is Courtney just so unprofessional on set? And Kim's like, this isn't how we do it.
Kendall.
Some fan's gonna be like, actually, here's the power ranking of professionalism on set of all the Kardashians.
Hey, give it to me.
I've never seen the show, y'all. Couldn't tell you either. I just like the YouTube video of Khloe Kardashian teaching us how to put Oreos in a bowl. Because she points out halfway through that she was like, this is stupid. This is dumb.
There is a video of Kim Kardashian and Northwest in the background goes, why are you talking like that? That's not the voice you use.
I love it. Anyways,
call out order. Screen grabs. Finally correct.
Reboot of the show.
Jennifer's first call out.
Yes.
Correct.
Legit. Mm-hmm.
Nicole is second.
Yes.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Brittany, what does 1 + 1 equal? 3. No. 2.
She just can't. Don't make her.
And then Tyra's mad at her for going, no, 3, honey, because what? I'm the mathematician? Like, she's making Brittany, like, she's like, we've done a lot of gaslighting in the show, but this is like active real time. Like, yes. Brittany's being forced to be gaslit. Also, I'm sorry, we talked about it earlier, but Brittany's dress reveal, the back of that dress was,
Sunday is next.
And I just want to say, was it heightened? Yes. But this is Sunday's real personality.
Yeah.
Yeah. You got what you paid for here.
And then Laura, which leaves Ray and Aaron in the bottom.
Which, proper bottom too. I would say for this call out order, I would put Laura above Sunday, but...
I would as well.
Yeah, me too.
Aaron will not hold hands with Ray.
No.
But will keep her very close in case she needs to murder her.
I'm actually shocked that Tyra in her like bottom two speech didn't be like the two blondes or something. Like, I was just waiting for it.
But is this America's Next Top Photo Model?
Yes.
Yes, it is.
I feel you lack that thing. What useful advice for Ray? What critique?
She also says in her most baby voice that before when she was giving the speech, and one of you will have to go home. Go home.
I hate this.
It's too much.
But we feel that Aaron has potential. Excuse me?
Look, here's the problem. Is both of them do have two of the stronger portfolios. Mm. It's just, it's, you know, it's, it is crappy math that it's very clear that there's a bottom two and both have this, I would argue, the two strongest portfolios with Nicole as a, in the mix there. But like, it just, man, it does not feel like it was Ray's time to go.
No.
Also, can we fix Aaron's eyebrows? It's bad.
They need a touch up, like a re-bleach, like no one's business.
Yeah.
And now there is such a gap in the middle of this photo collage. Ray's name was actually Ashley, and it was Ashley Ray, so she went by her middle name. She mostly goes by Ashley, now married, Halverson hyphen Whites. Yeah. And she, well, it's W-E-I-S-Z. Whites.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so a lot of
times. I don't know
why
my brain couldn't make that happen. You did not do anything wrong, Jada.
I know. I also had the same moment.
And she went by Ray Whites for a long time. I couldn't find a lot about her, except I found her Facebook profile, which was public enough for me to see a lot of photos. She and her husband have just the most adorable family. They have 4 kids now, so you can still see like updated photos of Aria, the daughter that we saw here on the show here and there. Mm. And just like Cycle 12 before them, they love a group photo because they're a family that loves a Christmas photo, loves doing all these things. She looks a lot like what she did on the show, except now she has like her natural blonde, kind of dirty blonde.
With real eyebrows.
Back. And there's this cute video. I just watched a couple because I was like, this is someone's Facebook profile. I don't want to go too deep. It feels a little involved at some point.
Yeah.
But there's this really cute photo of their like small kitten just like licking and brushing itself against her husband's hair for like an hour, it seems like. It's the funniest, cutest thing. So, yeah, that seems like what she's kind of focused on right now is her family. I couldn't find much otherwise. Sure. I found like some old social media accounts, but they didn't seem like they'd been updated since 2016. Mm. And I will say that a lot of her stuff that she also shares is very liberal leaning. Viewer, take mm-hmm. that for what you will.
I mean, I'm definitely going to miss the Woo girl.
I'm going to miss the supportive mom.
Yeah.
I liked Ray and her portfolio. I don't know. This seems like literally a rerun of Lauren Brie.
Yeah. I was more interested in Ray than I was ever in Lauren Brie.
That's fair. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I think Ray seemed to be pretty well liked in the house.
She seemed to talk to everyone for the most part. Even Nicole at the end.
Absolutely. And you know, she was the token. Sometimes you have multiple ones, but she was the token mom of the cycle. But also, you know, kind of to
Jennifer's point,
to Jennifer's joy about it. She never really made that her deal. And I honestly wonder if from a production standpoint, if she should have.
I think they wanted more trauma and more mama out of Ray.
Yeah.
And she didn't feel like giving them either of those things, and good for her.
And if you feel like giving those things to us, you should rate, review, and subscribe to this podcast. We love hearing from you, your hot takes, your iced tea. You can also reach out to us at podleadem.com or send us an email at podleadem@gmail.com. And don't forget, that P.O. box is open and functional. You can find me anywhere at Yet Charming.
Reach out on Instagram at Hannah Jane Ginsburg.
And I'm on Twitter at JW Crump. We got a lot of tweets recently, so thank you so much for using the hashtag.
My gift. Thank you for the gift of my gift.
Oh, it was the Sunday Cabbage Patch?
Yes, the saddest Cabbage Patch of all.
So for Podleadem, I have been Alexander Price.
I'll be Hannah Jane Ginsburg.
And I'm JW Crump.
And we'll see you on top.
Podleadem is not endorsed by America's Next Top Model, Tyra Banks, 10x10 Entertainment, or any of their subsidiaries. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. America's Next Top Model and all names, pictures, and audio clips are registered trademarks and copyrights of their respective trademark and copyright holders.